Welcome everyone to our worship. I trust you're all keeping well. Wherever you are, remember we are joined in fellowship with each other and the risen Christ through the power of God's Holy Spirit. Just a quick update on the week. Sunday is Kathy and Graham's wedding anniversary, 57 years, congratulations. So we will be having cake after the service. Wow. We've had a very busy week in the shop and the cafe, and the weather has been good except for Wednesday when it poured with rain for most of the day. Eleanor is still unwell and so hasn't been able to help this week. Stuart is still caring for Johanna, who is still in a lot of pain, so we continue to pray for them. Margaret has been unable to come in as her son is staying with her, and he is unwell also. So a big thank you to Kathy and Graham for their help this week. The week has been dominated, of course, by the local elections, which, despite the various changes, will not make a great deal of difference to the state of the country or the world, but we can all make a difference with the help of our Lord. So let us prepare to worship the Lord and celebrate together the Lord's Supper. So let us be still for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Come bow before him now with reverence and fear. Let's sing, "Be Still for the Presence of the Lord." Brothers and sisters in Christ, peace to you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in the first letter of John, "If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, God's Son, purifies us from all sin." As Christians, of course, we walk in the light, and we experience the power of Jesus' resurrection. And then we know that we are truly loved. Loved by God, the very God who created us and loves us. Lord, the light of your love is shining, in the midst of the darkness shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on us. Let's sing, "Shine, Jesus, Shine."
Lord, the light of your love.
Let us pray. Lord, we have set aside this moment in time to bring you our praise, to say thank you for all that you are doing in our lives, to thank you that by your grace we have the promise of eternal life and the promise of life in the resurrection power while we inhabit this earthly shell. Grace is your gift to us, a sacred gift, a growing gift, giving hope through the Spirit. We welcome your gift of grace. Your grace is our gift, to be cherished and honoured by friend and stranger, now and forever, a hope for the world. We're here to praise you, Lord our God, who has promised to never leave us, because we are loved. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We meet today still in the Easter season, indeed between Easter and Pentecost. As a foretaste of Pentecost, Jesus said to his disciples as he ate with them on the night he was betrayed, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." Then after the resurrection in Acts chapter 1 verse 4 we read, "On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.'" These were the words of Jesus just before he ascended to the Father. Next Thursday in the Christian calendar is celebrated as Ascension Day, when we remember that after Jesus spoke those words, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Jesus had left the disciples, as he had left them when he was crucified, but just as he returned after the crucifixion, so he would return again after having ascended into heaven. Meanwhile, the disciples were left totally bewildered by everything that was going on. Now they were once again left between Jesus' ascension and the promise that he would once again return. In the meantime, they had been promised that God would send them a helper, which is how Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit. Although we have the advantage of living between the outpouring of the Spirit and Christ's second coming, we are left in much the same situation as were those first disciples. And just like those first disciples, we have an awesome responsibility. Jesus outlines our responsibility or mission. He says that by his resurrection power, which his disciples were about to experience on the day of Pentecost, we would become his witnesses, or as Paul put it, his ambassadors. To accomplish this responsibility, God created the church. Not a building, but a people of power who would prepare the way for Christ's second coming. We, together with millions of people around the world, are that same church. But for us to remain within the church, we have to live the way God created us to live, and we have to obey his commandments. Jesus said, "Whoever has my commandments and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." He who loves me will be loved by my Father. Today we explore that in a little more detail as we take as our theme, "You are loved." Indeed, love songs from heaven are filling the earth, bringing great hope to all nations. Evil has prospered, but truth is alive. In this dark world, the light still shines. Let's sing "Love Songs from Heaven."
Thank you.
are so grateful that you make yourself known to us, and you are always present in our lives through the power of your Holy Spirit, even though we don't always recognize or acknowledge you. You have filled us with your Spirit of truth and love that inspires and empowers us. Lord, for all that you are, we thank you. Thank you for your presence, your love, and your encouragement. We are so often quick to reach out to you, Lord, when we want something. But how often do we say thank you? So we thank you for all that you are doing in our lives. And Lord, in the stillness and quiet, we call to mind all the good things of the past week. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Lord, for all that you've done for us, for your love, mercy, and joy, what have we to show to you? We are sometimes too quick to anger. Sometimes we are too slow to share your grace with others. We are often too ready to judge. We are too reluctant to welcome. Lord, forgive us when we do not acknowledge and proclaim your marvellous deeds. Grant us the time we need to amend our ways and so enjoy to the full the life you have lent us. Again, Lord, in the stillness of our worship, we call to mind our shortcomings of the past week. Lord, we are not worthy, but we know that your love and grace are unconditional, and we remember that the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. Lord, help us to learn to forgive ourselves as you forgive us, that we might live your gift of grace and walk in your light. Lord, may we continue to praise you as we go into a new week. With your hope in our hearts, we praise you for all the chances there will be to share that hope with others. We ask you to keep our eyes firmly fixed on you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your wonderful, forgiving love. For Jesus, you aren't all compassion. Pure, unbounded love you are. Visit us with thy salvation. Enter every trembling heart. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's sing Love Divine or Love's Excelling.
Thank you.
So let us come to God in prayer again. Let's pray. Lord, you said, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Gracious God, you are the light of the world. You hold the world. You grieve for a world that has by and large forgotten you. We hold before you in prayer our world in fear and turmoil, our hungry world, our war-torn world, our unfair world, our world dominated by the desire for material wealth. We pray that the people of every state and nation will turn to a desire for spiritual wealth and come to know that they are loved by you. Lord, as strikes continue in southern Lebanon in spite of the ceasefire, and people in Gaza weep amid the mountains of rubble and flattened homes, we pray for determination to bring an end to these conflicts and for hope to flourish where everything seems to be destroyed. Lord, as tension mounts in the Straits of Hormuz, ships and their crews and cargo are stranded, and Iran and the United States issue increasingly violent threats to each other, we pray for a plan of peace and for wisdom to guide what happens next. Lord, we pray you will guide our king and government and all leaders in our communities. Be with our newly elected councillors in our local government in England, the Scottish Parliament and in the Senate. Whatever political party they represent, may all serve with honesty and humility and make a difference for the better in our communities. And Lord, as members of Jewish communities live in fear for their lives and prejudice and hatred have taken root in our public discourse, we pray for calm and also for courage in standing up to hatred and rejecting violence, and for speech that inspires unity rather than division. Lord, you hold your church in your love. We hold before you in love and prayer our needs and the needs of those whom we know. Lord, we pray for all who care for their loved ones. We pray for all of lost family and friends that they will take comfort from your promise of eternal life for all who believe. Lord, strengthen all who are weak and low in spirit. Give to them that living hope, hope to see beyond the pain, to the glorious future that you have prepared for those who love you. For this is the message we have heard from you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Lord, when we see the morning sunrise, how it peels away the night, it reminds us of creation when you said, "Let there be light." And when we see this generation, broken-hearted, blind and chained, people searching for the answers, would you shine your light again? Lord, shine your light across the world, nations, that all people in the world may know you and your love. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's sing "When I See the Morning Sunrise." Generation, broken Pause once again to make our offering to the Lord, and I want to thank all of you who are continuing with your tithing. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we are people of God, chosen by you, loved by you, and equipped by you to be your witnesses here in this world. So Lord, bless the offering of our lives and our resources that we make, as we all use the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to serve you and each other, as we care for your people and grow your kingdom here on earth. Amen. We now prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper, and before we do, we acknowledge our faith in the Holy Trinity that is God, as we stand and say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So now, following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread and this wine, the ordinary things of the world, which Christ will make special. And as he said a prayer before sharing, let us do so too. Gratitude, praise, hearts lifted high, voices full and joyful. These you deserve, for when we were nothing, you made us something. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms opened wide in welcome. And look, you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new again. You are worth all our pain and all our praise. Let's say together, Lord Jesus Christ, present with us now, for all that you have done and all that you have promised, what have we to offer? Our hands are empty. Our hearts are sometimes full of wrong things. We are not fit to gather up the crumbs from under your table. But with you is mercy and the power to change us. So as we do in this place what you did in an upstairs room, send down your Holy Spirit on us, that these gifts of bread and wine may become for us your body and blood, healing, forgiving, and making us whole, and that we may become for you your body, loving and caring in the world, until your kingdom comes. Amen. The Lord Jesus, among friends, gathered round a table on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." And look, here is your Lord coming to you in bread and wine. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Draw near with faith and receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, and his blood which was shed for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. So let us say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We now share the bread and the wine. The body of Christ keep you in God's love for eternity. Amen. The blood of Christ shed for you. Amen. So let us now say together, Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life in our hands. Now we put our lives in yours. Take us, shake us, remake us. No longer is what we have been important. It is what, with you, we can be, starting now. Amen. Lord, as the deer pants for the water, so our souls long after you. You alone are our heart's desire. You alone are our strength and shield. To you alone may our spirits yield. You alone are our heart's desire, and we long to worship you. Amen. Let's sing as the deer pants for the water. So our first scripture reading this morning is from John's Gospel, and we return to the intimacy of the upper room where Jesus shared the Passover supper with his closest disciples on the night he was betrayed and handed over to be crucified. The passage focuses on love, love expressed through obedience. In John's Gospel, love concerns our whole lifestyle. In this context, it's not about emotion. Jesus' very words draw us back to the sense of intimacy among friends, words that will powerfully launch the worldwide mission. Let's hear now Jesus' own words from John's Gospel.
The reading is from John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Those words spoken by Jesus are very comforting to us. They were comforting to his first disciples, although they probably didn't realise just how much they were going to need them until they stood at the foot of the cross. The Apostle Peter was also writing to people who needed comfort, and we've seen over the past few weeks that his advice throughout his letter is designed to reduce anxiety. In the passage we're now going to hear, Peter is trying to advise them how to reduce the risk of retaliation. He says that by responding with the gentleness and reverence to those who attempt to intimidate them, believers may shame and therefore disarm them, because they are practicing the truth of the gospel. All this can only be done, of course, with a clear conscience. Peter tells them that at the heart of their resistance is Christ, whose example is the cornerstone that holds their community together. Let's hear once again from the first letter of Peter.
The reading is from First Letter of Peter, chapter 3, verses 13 to 22. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Well, as I said, today our theme is You Are Loved. You know, we all want to be loved. Indeed, we all need to be loved. But sadly, many people never experience love. And sadly, many who don't experience human love don't realise that they are loved by God. That's why it's so important that we all help people to see that whatever is going on in their lives, they are loved by God. As always, Jesus puts this very simply. As always, he is very brief, but to the point. However, Jesus' words are so simple that we can easily overlook a major problem behind them. To be loved by God, we first have to show that we love him by obeying his commands. Jesus says, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and show myself to him." Loving Jesus means keeping his word, keeping alive his teaching and obeying him, for his words have come from God. And God loves everyone. Well, I've heard this used so many times as a get-out clause, even from ministers and pastors, to excuse sinful behaviour. Well, of course, they are correct. God does love everyone. But that's the very reason why he wants us to obey his commandments. Because by obeying his commandments, we are showing that we love God and we are living lives worthy of his love. For this mutual love is about our whole journey through this life and into the next. You see, by obeying the commandments of our Creator, we can and will live a better life. For in order to survive this transitory life, we must follow the Maker's instructions, because they're for our benefit. If we are anxious about keeping Jesus' words and commandments, we need have no fear. For Jesus' promise to us is the help of the Holy Spirit. just as he promised to his first disciples, who were also anxious about keeping Jesus' words and commandments. In the passage from John's Gospel, Jesus tries to comfort his disciples in the face of his departure by saying that his leaving and going to the Father should be a cause for rejoicing. And he reassures them that he will give them another counselor, which of course is the Holy Spirit, God himself in spiritual form. And the passage closes with a renewed emphasis on love as the force binding together Jesus, the Father, and the disciples. This very love will enable Jesus to return to the disciples, and it lets them share in his life through the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit. So in effect, what Jesus is saying in this passage is that after he's gone, the Holy Spirit will enable them to defend the faith and the truth that Jesus is the Son of God, and in return, they will know the love of God. You know, whatever we're going through, or whatever faces us in the months and years ahead, we must accept God's love. We must submit our will to his will. And we must put aside our earthly desires in favour of doing God's will. Loving and serving the Lord is an essential part of our commitment as Christians. Indeed, it's the message of the church. We mustn't shy away from serving the Lord. Remember, the Apostle Peter says, "Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good?" And he goes on to say, "But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." You know, this is so important. And he goes on to say, "But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." You know, when we read the scriptures, and in particular the sections of the gospel dealing with the death and resurrection of Jesus, Jesus' sacrifice brings home the reality of the pain and suffering of Christ's death on the cross. He died for us. God's Son sacrificed his life to redeem humankind from the power of sin. By dying on the cross, he paid a ransom to release us from the bondage of sin. And with his resurrection comes the promise of God's greatest gift, the gift of eternal life. The same power which raised Jesus from the tomb, the resurrection power and the love of God, is available to us as a result of the price our Lord paid. God is our refuge. He's our strength in our daily lives. You know, when we consider our own lives and the state of the modern world, the Holy Spirit is more important than ever. Materialism, conflict, greed, domination, selfishness have replaced spirituality, by and large. We need God's power to maintain a focus in our lives. Living in God's way is a way of having a stronger personal commitment to Jesus. And when we walk with the Lord, we are walking in the footsteps of the King of Heaven. The gift of the Holy Spirit's power is a life-changing experience. And as Christians, we can use this power to enhance our own personal relationship with God and to bring others to God. Remember, Peter said, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." In this week's scripture readings, there is a special message for the times we are living in right now. especially regarding loving each other. I'm convinced that we are being called by God at this very trying and difficult time to reach out to others with the message that we need now more than ever to trust in God, to trust God with our lives, to trust God regardless of what might be happening or about to happen in our individual lives. We have a tremendous opportunity to convince people of God's love, His grace, His forgiveness. And through our community outreach, we are meeting so many people. They are all different, but they all share one thing in common. They all have problems in life. They all need to know that they can turn to God for help and guidance. We have to show people that, even in the darkness that is all around us, God's love is still shining and can and will shine in their lives if only they can trust and obey Him. I know that's not easy, especially for those who are really struggling with life for one reason or another. Actually, it's not easy to convince people who are living the high life either. But again, that is where we can come in. This life we now live is transitory. There is more to come, more than we can ever know or fully understand. Whatever wealth or none we have in this life counts for nothing when we die. But the love we show for God and His people counts like a passport to heaven. And remember again, God knows it's not easy. In fact, nothing comes easy. But Jesus promised His disciples that He will ask God to give them a helper or advocate or comforter who will be with them always once He Himself has physically left them. This very Spirit of God will live inside them. This is the Spirit that will carry us all through the scary trials and challenges of the times that lay ahead of us. And yes, that same Spirit is in everyone, just waiting to be activated. All we have to do, all anyone has to do, is to give our lives to Christ, obey God's commandments, and show our love of Christ to others by the way we live. You know, each time I have the privilege, the honour of bringing Christ's message, I always pray that the power of the Holy Spirit will guide me in my task. That same power is available to everyone who is prepared to live as God intended us to live. Of course, there will be people who are not prepared to listen. But you have to accept that's their problem. In order to live in Christ's light and love, we must accept the guidance of the Holy Spirit in everything we do and say. We must know and accept and believe Jesus to be the Son of the living God. We must know we now belong to Jesus. My dear friends, as individuals, as members of the church, we belong to the body of Christ. We make a commitment to God in return for His commitment to us. In our service and outreach within the wider community, we serve God. Don't let any opportunity pass you by. Walk in the light at all times. Trust in the Lord and help others to do the same. And remember, you are loved by none other than the Creator of the entire universe. So fight the good fight with all your might. Christ is your strength and Christ your right. Lay hold on life, and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally. Amen. Let's sing Fight the Good Fight. Fight the good fight. Jesus Christ, we thank you that we are loved. We thank you for your promise of the Spirit of truth to guide and lead us. Send us out with hearts ready to welcome your gift, eyes open to see and ears eager to hear, that we may live and reveal your truth and love in every moment of every day, day by day. And so we go in love to serve you, Lord, and your people, with the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.